Okay, hopefully it's recording now.
Yep.
Graham talks Pats. I haven't recorded in a long time, but special guest today. You want to introduce yourself, Raju?
Yeah, I'm Runju. I met Graham a long time ago in school, like freshman year, sophomore year.
Freshman year, I think,
Because
yeah.
you knew Joe, but
Yeah.
and I just remember that you didn't know I
No, we
was
were
there.
no why no why we were in FYE together.
Yeah. Oh
Yeah,
my God,
so it's
FYE.
literally since the first semester of college.
Yeah, but you didn't
So
know
I
I was
remember. Do you
deep
know
on
what's
the
crazy?
Pats,
So
is the gym,
do
right?
you remember how it was the gym? I remember talking to you, and I was trying to keep it real surface level. It's like, oh, like I feel like a lot of like people who call themselves Patriots fans, whatever, like they know about like Will Campbell and stuff like that. And you're like, yeah, but I love
We
the
just got
Craig
Ty
Woodson pick
Williams.
or
Oh,
something
we
like
got Craig
that.
Woodson.
You're
We
like, I
got
love
Craig
the Craig Woodson pick, and
Woodson.
I was like, okay, this guy knows this stuff. So, obviously, we were talking about this a little bit in the car the other day. You have some analytics, which we'll get into in a little bit. But right before we started recording, one of the things we were talking about, obviously, the biggest news for the Patriots. Amazingly, it wasn't the biggest news on June 1st with the Myles Garrett trade. Which we can kind of touch on that actually. Do you want to talk about the Myles Garrett trade at all? Any thoughts?
I mean, I'm a huge fan of Cleveland. I think Cleveland nailed the draft. I wasn't an Andrew Berry fan,
Yeah.
but you know he's turning me into one because
He is. He's I really like their
the
draft the last 2 years.
he's nailing the drafts, and he's farming value. And you know this year is just going to be like a Shador prove it year,
Yeah.
and develop the receivers. And like I think we'll get onto this later, but I'm a huge Concepcion guy.
Yeah.
So if Shador's not it, they're gonna get a QB, and I think they have some weapons. They've got some weapons to unlock, and Isaiah Bond too. Like Cleveland's cooking up
Denzel
something.
Boston in the second round, like they added
Denzel
him.
Boston,
I mean, they've
yeah.
got some guys there. Like you have to say, if you're,
Harold Fannin. I
yeah,
mean,
no, of course.
if we're gonna talk about the Browns a little bit, I think Harold Fannin was a sleeper under a lot of people on a lot of people's draft boards, but analytically, he was one of those guys
He
that
ran for like
was a
1500
sleeper.
yards. It was just,
Yeah, Bowling
Bowling
Green,
Green,
like
yeah.
bowling, and every. I think we're going to talk about this later, but like, what's the deal with people knocking the small school stuff now? I think you're going to see a lot more players really coming out of these smaller programs.
I think so too. And I mean, we'll talk about Ted Hurst in a little bit too. You're a big fan of Ted Hurst.
That's what
Like,
I'm saying. I'm Ted Hurst
there's a
at
lot of
Georgia State.
guys.
He
Yeah,
made it
there I mean
out.
there's a lot of guys.
Kyle Williams, obviously,
Kyle
we'll get
Williams,
to him.
yeah. I mean, there's a lot of guys. So there's a couple things. I guess there's a couple
I
things we want to talk about Patriots wise, I guess. One piece, we were kind of talking about this the other day, but I kind of want to get this on a recording so that I don't get jumped by someone else
Someone,
in
yeah,
that
Kyle
like
Dixon.
someone. Kyle Dixon, a little bit. I feel like Kyle Dixon on Twitter already has some hype, but we were talking about this in the car. Kyle Dixon went to Culver Stockton, which
Culver
is an
Stockton.
NIAA in Missouri. The Patriots don't have just one Culver Stockton alum; they have two, which is unbelievable that Culver Stockton has produced two players. I was talking to my dad about Kyle Dixon the other day, and he thought Culver Stockton was his name. So the Patriots. This is one thing I found interesting is. One thing, especially early in camp, what we saw was we didn't see Ben Brown sliding in at left guard for Vera Tucker, who's still rehabbing his tricep injury, but it was Andrew Rupchich, who was with Tennessee, or was with Vrabel in Tennessee when they were there together, and then he was with the Patriots practice squad this past year on the he didn't play any games, but he was on the practice squad this past year. You look at his size, I can pull up his exact measurables. He's a lot more similar to this types of guards the Patriots already have. In that, let me pull this up. On Wikipedia, he's listed at 6'6", 325. That's a lot more similar to Vera Tucker and to Mike Onwenu, who's still a little bit smaller than those two, but a lot more similar to those two guys than Ben Brown or Jared Wilson were last year, who are both over that left guard spot. And we'll have to see. I think Ben Brown might just be Jared Wilson's worst nightmare, where he's just going to follow him wherever he goes and just be the backup to him and always be knocking on the door because he plays left guard and now he's moving over to center. But it was interesting because obviously last year you saw Jared Wilson play left guard and it was more of a situation where it was like, hey, regardless of ability, we just want to get our younger players on the field, see if we can develop them, et cetera. But now that you've already, in 1 year under Vrabel, have established yourself more so as a legitimate contender. you're in a spot where, hey, you look at, and years previous, maybe you try Caleb Lomu at left guard just to get him snaps, or Demetrius Crownover or Marcus Bryant, or one of these guys who's a little bit younger. But
And crown over, like,
yeah, Crownover will be a guy that
not
we
to
can talk
butt,
about
yeah,
too.
crown over. I don't want to butt in, but crown over is going to be one of those guys who I think the Patriots staff is just going to make use of his physical length
I mean, you look at
because.
it, they didn't bring back Theron Munford because he had some offseason injury stuff, and they used that extra lineman in Munford and Tonga even a lot. So obviously Gilliam coming in is going to be an extra blocker, but you could see a role for a guy like Crownover, especially in short yardage situations.
Definitely, I think his tape was like a definitely raw, and I didn't see that much, but I think he could fit
Maybe
into
six-inch arms.
some run game stuff, you know, some fits,
Yeah, for
some
sure.
I don't know how many snaps,
Yeah, it
but
might be
he'll be
20
on the
all year,
field.
but it could be interesting
Yeah,
if he can
he's
find a
gonna
way to
get
make
on
the
the field
team.
for sure.
And it's interesting to me, like, it's always around this time of year, it's always cool to see these random offensive linemen. Andrew Rupchich just turned 27 this past offseason. He's a guy that I don't think, include myself included, before this past year, looking at some practice squad stuff, reading some articles on that, I had never heard of him. So pretty crazy that the Patriots have two Culver Stockton alums on their squad, both of whom have a sort of chance to make the team. The only other offensive line piece of news I want to get into really quick, Mike Onwenu redid his contract a little bit, got a little bit more upfront. So he got $6 million upfront now, but $7.5 million cut off the total contract. One piece that was interesting about that is Onwenu had, I'm not sure if it's still the case, I bet it's not. Previously, he was on the books for the most amount of money of any Patriots player at $25 million for this year. The Patriots could have released him at any point this offseason and saved every dollar of that. So Onwenu obviously now gets a little bit of money up front, which he probably wouldn't have gotten otherwise. I'm not sure what the exact details were, but usually when you can release someone with no penalty, it means that there's no guaranteed money left in the deal. So he obviously gets some money up front, which is good for his security. And then obviously the Patriots, take his cap total cap hit down a little bit. I would be curious to see if this is going to be his last year in New England, given that they already paid Vera Tucker on the other side. Obviously, you want to have a really good offensive line, but even if this guy Rupchich can find a way to be an even serviceable guard on the other side, you just say, hey, we'll take Rupchich for pennies on the dollar rather than paying Onwenu again. I'm not sure, but yeah, I mean, I think the big piece of news though that we
Is
should really get
obviously.
into is AJ Brown.
Yep. And
We differ in
I
opinion.
mean,
I'm curious to hear.
I want
First
you to
off,
go
you
because
want me to go first?
I think there's a lot more people who will agree with your side of things here.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing for me is just I feel like every single year there's a rumor about the Patriots adding a receiver, right? It's like every year. It was Michael Thomas, it's Odell Beckham, all these guys over the past decade, half decade, that have been rumored to go to New England, and it just never happens, right? Like the last kind of star-ish receiver I'd say New England landed was Josh Gordon. And even at that point, like he's not, I'm given, I
Yeah,
don't think New
it's.
England under Bill Belichick was ever in the position where they were going to land these elite number ones. But you saw it with Randy Moss. Randy Moss coming to look what looked like at the time the end of his career, and then he reestablishes himself and has one of the best receiver seasons in history. With Bill Belichick and Tom Brady throwing the ball. So, to me, I think here's my thing, and I'll be curious to hear what your issues are with the AJ Brown trade in a moment. But to me, 2027 was the year for, or is the year, I should say, for all these elite prospects. And I think in particular for a team like the Patriots that doesn't need a quarterback, there's a lot of QB prospects. It's going to push these better prospects down the board. You keep your pick in that draft, right? Which I think is huge. So there's still the opportunity next year to get a really big ticket item in the first round. And then as far as AJ Brown goes, to me, I think you can, be really nitpicky and say, oh, we don't like these antics in the locker room. We think he's a locker room cancer, et cetera. I kind of just feel like you need to add good players at some point, and I think AJ Brown is that. I think you obviously that last playoff game was probably not his best moment. A couple drops, yelling at Sirianni on the sideline, all that. But I was joking with my dad at the time, saying, "Hey, yelling at Sirianni on the sideline, he's actually going to go to New England." And lo and behold, here we are on June 2nd now, and we're
So,
24 hours away from him, having been brought into New England. Practice today, by the way, only ran four snaps with the 11s, but mostly talking with the coaching staff. But still, I'm interested to hear what you have to say about this, though, as a
So
hater of the move.
I'm not, I don't want to deem myself a complete hater of the move, but I think when you look historically, it's not many times you see a receiver get traded for a first. This is just the truth, right? And like obviously the most recent one would be AJ Brown again, right?
AJ
And
Brown or
so
Devontae Adams as well.
yeah, and Devontae Adams, right? But
Did Tyreek
Devontae
Hill a little
Adams,
bit a couple years ago?
so like I just want to go back and one of the first things I think is the hater move is we're gonna get Howie Roseman by this, I think. Like, you know,
That's true. That's a
Howie's the draft
possibility.
killer. And
Yes.
that 2028 first is gonna get into some he's gonna draft somebody and we're gonna look back and be like, man, you know. And the only way I see this really being paid off is if we get in like a Super Bowl win with AJ Brown, and that would be great. And I'm not writing that off, but we're gonna see how this comes up. And I think that just giving a first round pick to Howie is already super devious, especially a first round and a fifth when he got AJ for a first. So it was just instant profit
Well,
for him.
actually, AJ, I looked it up. AJ, it was a first and a third.
It was a first and a third? It
Yeah,
was?
he threw a third in there too. So it wasn't, because that was one of the things I was thinking, because I was like, that's a great trade for the Eagles if you get him for the 25th pick and then you turn around and swap him for potentially a top 25 pick years later after winning a Super Bowl and then still get a fifth back. But technically, it is a little bit of a downgrade for them. But still, I mean, they got going from a third to a fifth to win a Super Bowl is, I think, a trade 32 out of 32 teams would take.
Yeah, exactly, right? And I think I wasn't one to follow this move particularly close because I wasn't a fan of it. And so I didn't know that there was going to be a fifth involved. That was another thing that kind of just caught me by surprise, and I was like, man, you know, I'm not really with this. But I think then we get to the second reason I'm not a fan of this is, you know, the actual knee injury with AJ Brown is that he's got to get his knees drained weekly. Like, this guy's not super healthy. He's got a long history of knee issues and he's older. And, you know, I was a guy. So I'm like, not, I'm a Puka hater. And you know, like, I'm a Puka's not top five for me in receiver. And last year I was making the argument AJ Brown was top five for me. And I watched a lot of AJ Brown film, and I really loved AJ Brown because I thought he, you know, you couldn't beat him off press, and you can't, you still can't beat him off press. He's super strong, and you know, I thought he was a demon over the middle of the field because of how physically empowering he was. And then you see the Niners game last year, right? And I didn't watch that much Eagles like second half of the year through the issues, and I did now. And you know, I think his routes have gotten a little. You know, they're just not as crispy anymore. It's not Titans AJ Brown like we remember. You know, the AJ Brown I remember is frying you off post routes, corner routes, and go routes. And if he beats you on any of those three throughout the whole game, guess what? You're getting fried on a slant because he just tested you vertical, and you're gonna play off him now. And because you know you can't play on him with in press, you got to play off in zone, and then he's gonna fry you. This is how they did it. You know, this was the AJ Brown formula. Can AJ Brown fry you on a slant anymore? Well, we saw the Niners just lock him up with like three drops.
Now,
So,
here I will say this as well. Regardless of AJ Brown's route tree, to me, I think that a big piece that the Patriots haven't had in a really long time is that's a guy that a number one corner is going to have to look at and say, oh, that's AJ Brown. I have to go line up against him. And until he proves otherwise, until he proves that playoff game was not a fluke and instead is just the new AJ Brown, which would be disastrous for New England, obviously, I don't think corners or defensive coordinators or head coaches, opposing head coaches, are going to be looking at that and saying, oh, this is a guy that we can take lightly, right? And I think that's one thing. Obviously Diggs has a little bit of name value, and I liked what he brought to the team last year, but he's not AJ Brown, right, to me.
I think they're
You might
not
disagree.
comparable, in my opinion.
They're not
Yeah, I
comparable, you
don't
say,
think you
are they?
shouldn't compare them because I think the only thing you can compare them for me is veteran experience because Diggs was never going to play outside, and
I
to be
just mean to
honest,
me more
never
so in terms of
in a
impact.
scheme. in a corner scheme or in some defensive scheme, your number one corner is not your slot corner. It's
No, of
usually just
course.
not.
I mean, there's
And
the even Trent McDuffie. I thought he played a lot more in the slot than he did. He played on the
yeah, but
outside a
I
lot for KC.
Spags is weird.
No, but he played on the outside a lot for KC, which I didn't.
Yeah.
Which I didn't think. I thought he was like more of a slot guy, but I guess it makes sense
You
because it was
know,
him and Jalen Watson.
Pat Surtain is obviously an outside guy, but when
Yeah.
Pat Surtain faces the number one receiver in the slot, he'll go. He'll play in the slot.
Yeah.
But I just want to mention with the AJ Brown route tree and all that, I think that brings up the question of the sacrificial X, right?
Yeah. Oh,
Because
yeah. We got to talk about this as well.
now, okay, so if we take it back to all of last year, it's booty on that route tree. Corner,
Yeah.
post,
No, of
go.
course. Yeah.
Corner, post, go. If it was a slant, it was digs. If it was a, you know, if it was a some middle of the field in breaker dig, it was most likely like Mac Hollins.
Yeah.
Like Mac Hollins killed between the numbers on simple digs and simple skinny posts.
Yeah.
And
But I will say, Mac Hollins, he found his go route later in the season. I should
he
say, I was
did.
going to say
He
later in the
did.
season. I guess it was probably in the second half of the season, but obviously had a big catch against the Bucks to seal
Yep.
the game in that one. And then also in the Super Bowl, he looked like all of a sudden he came to play towards the end. Obviously, in the Denver game, it
Yeah,
was a
after
little bit
Diggs got
different.
punched by Job,
Yeah, it was.
Mac Hollins had a nice catch. I think it was a skinny post. It was
Yeah, I
a
mean.
no. They ran the skinny post twice, and it hit once off like Mac Hollins had to coming back to the ball. I'm pretty sure. And then the first one, Kobe Bryant came in and just decked Mac Hollins. It was tough.
Yeah. But the no, but I agree with you. I think the trouble with Booty is, as much as I really do like Kayshon Booty, he hasn't his yard total actually was less than last year. He did play four less games, and his production was much more aesthetically pleasing, I'd say. It wasn't these that 95-yard game against the Bills where he's getting a couple garbage time catches, or if Joe Milton's some throwing on the ball. It wasn't any of that. It was, him finding a real role in the regular offense, which was awesome to see. I think with him, the other trouble is he actually has trade value when Mac Hollins doesn't. Maybe there's literally a team out there that would give you a conditional seventh for Hollins, but Hollins has way more value being a receiver on a contending team
Yep.
than he would in the trade market. And Booty,
Yeah, like a
I
Gabe
think
Davis type.
exactly. And to me, like, if you look at Kayshon Booty, right? If you were to, find a trade partner for Booty and get a fifth round pick back, that to me is like a pretty reasonable, return on him. Because if you say we took Booty in the sixth round, we got decent production out of him for 2 out of his 3 years, which isn't expected at all. Normally, if you're going to your fourth year as a sixth round pick, and you're like, "Oh, we're trading him away because he's going to have to get paid next year, et cetera,"
But I don't
that's not
think
even normally
Booty
a
is a
thing.
sixth round value. He was like a third round value
No, oh no,
guy.
of course. But I mean, like the Patriots actually picked him in the sixth round, and you got him back for if you're probably going to get a
But that's
fifth round
because he
pick or
had
so for him.
gambling issues in college, I think.
That is true, but he also
So,
fell off a cliff in college. He had one 300-yard game against Ole Miss where he was unbelievable, and then you never really saw the five-star potential that he showed out of high school, obviously. But
okay.
I think Booty has a shot to be a very productive receiver. I don't think it works with him and AJ Brown. If
It
you
doesn't,
want to
and
try
he's
to play
not.
AJ Brown in the slot, I guess that's a possibility with him aging. I don't think that's a likely possibility, but it is a
It's, oh
possibility, I
man,
suppose.
I
I
don't like AJ Brown in the slot. It
to
can't
me,
be.
I would prefer that to be more of a package dependent thing, and I'd rather AJ be the big outside threat that you were hoping for. And then give, and we can talk about it in a little bit too, because we're going to talk about the whole rookie class of receivers in a little bit. Because we didn't really say anything about this, but this, we're still working on trying to form our own show at some point. I'm not exactly sure if you're going to
What
be a
it'll
guest on
be.
this for a little bit, or what exactly it'll look like, but I feel like this is a nice precursor to that.
Yeah,
But
I
I want to talk about Kyle Williams in a little bit too, because I feel like he's
th
got
yeah,
potential
this is
too, and
where I
that
was gonna
conversation
go.
kind of leads into the rookie receivers. But what, in your opinion, is fair value for Booty, all things considered? Not just fair, but also likely value.
I don't want to jump topics here, Graham, but I have a couple more things to say with the lineup of AJ Brown, because
Okay, yeah,
I
of course.
can't devalue I can't devalue one thing about Booty,
Yeah.
is that he doesn't complain and that he values
That's
the
true.
Patriots for taking him a chance, taking a chance on him. And in my opinion, he is the epitome of understanding that Drake is going to spread the ball around, right?
Yeah,
He
that's true.
understood that he's going to run a lot of routes and never get the ball.
Yeah,
And I
yeah.
don't know how well AJ Brown's going to do running all those routes and not getting the ball, because he's a little bit of a diva. And I know you said we shouldn't count that. We shouldn't look at that and really fully count
Let's not forget, though, you
on.
have 85 catches to replace. I mean, Stefon Diggs was a huge, was a very high volume receiver for
But
you
I
last
don't
year, and
compare
you
the
didn't add
two.
another receiver. But I think in terms of Drake May on third down catching the ball, like in that Ravens game, he was really looking towards Stefon Diggs towards the end of the game. When it just comes down to it, and you say, all
When
right,
it
you
came
want
down to
players
Kyle
over
Williams,
plays
when it came down to Kyle
on the
Williams, who
deep ball,
won,
sure.
yeah,
But Stefon
because they
Diggs had
went
like
to
10
an
catches in
X,
that game.
they went to an X though,
No, but I
is
mean,
what.
like, just in general in the game. On
Yeah,
every
but I'm
third down,
saying.
he was looking at Stefon Diggs. I think it gets to a point you go players over plays. And I'm trying to find his stats from that game, Stefon Diggs' stats. But to me, just you have 85 catches to replace. Even if you expect a little bit of an uptick in production from a, you know,
Kyle Williams.
from a Kyle Williams, for example, you know, I think what's probably more likely is, let's say Booty is to be dealt. Kyle Williams replaces Booty not in role, but in catch number. And the same
Okay,
goes
because I'm
for
glad
AJ
you say
Brown with
that, because
Diggs.
I if
Yeah,
boot if Kyle
because
Williams lines up
role
at X,
wise,
I'm gonna do something.
yeah. No, like not in terms of, I mean this more so because he had 9 for 138, Stefon Diggs did against the Ravens. So like
Just frying
I
over
don't
the middle.
think exactly. But to me, I don't think those he also had that whip route, I think it was our Darius Washington tried to jump it, and on like 4th and 2.
He had a nice
That was
out route, I
huge on
think,
a little
against
out
Nate
route or a
Wiggins as
little,
well.
yeah, or something
Yeah.
like that. Might have been Nate Wiggins. I don't remember the exact play, but it was on the bottom side of the screen, I remember, late in the game. Regardless, though, like to me, independent of role specifically, to me, just in terms of general production, you're going to see like an 85 catch season out of AJ Brown. Because
I
that's
don't think
the.
that's I wouldn't bet on it though.
You want, I mean, let's take a look at it.
Like
AJ Brown's.
I wouldn't bet on AJ Brown for 1,000 yards this year.
Do you want to make that bet?
Well,
I'd make
I
that
mean,
bet.
you'd bet AJ Brown gets 1,000 yards?
I bet he gets 1,000 yards, yeah.
All right, but I would
Now
bet that he
I do
doesn't.
have a more of a funny sort of like random stat I want to share with you. After we I, what do we what are we what are we betting? That's the big thing.
Well, I don't, maybe I'll do like a $5 bet on it, but
You
like
know,
I'm
or we
just
gotta
gonna
do or
tell
we do
you.
a forfeit or something.
Or like we do like a maybe a little fun, like a gag bet, you know,
Yeah,
like a
we got a
punishment.
little fun. We can figure it out off camera too, or
I'm just gonna tell
off
you though,
recording too, and we can update you.
I, you know, this is what I'm saying. So Josh McDaniels obviously is gonna have to go like call up these like 2000-esque football plays where the alpha receiver is the X receiver. And I'm going to tell you, my out of all of the games I watched in the past 3 years, 2 years, alpha receivers are not the X receiver in the past 2, 3 years. They're the Z receiver, the person taking the motion, the person taking advantage of specific matchups like Amon-Ra. Just he runs few routes on the outside, but he's literally the motion man to fry whatever is the best matchup, right? And
No, sure.
JSN, and
But
JSN
I think
is
there's a
a
lot to be said, though, for having one of these guys who, I mean, AJ Brown is a very physically imposing receiver. It's very
this is
difficult
true.
to get to 6'2", 220 pounds, just as any sort of human, right? That's a very, that's an impressive height weight compared, like combo, right? So to me, not only that, but also having the jump ball and his hand strength is fantastic.
Obviously, you don't beat him
Yeah,
in pass.
I don't think, also that, and also just, when you see these catches he's making, corner of the end zone, back of the end zone, when he's got a receiver, when he's got a corner draped all over him, smacking on his hands, and his you know, the ball doesn't move. He's got a vice grip.
Right.
He's got vice grip hands, which is huge.
We'll get to Tedhurst.
Yeah. I mean, this will be a fun conversation, I think, when we talk about the younger players. I have a couple questions for you, especially given my dynasty league. I got a couple young guys. I do want to say this too. Which actually, I guess this can wait a little bit, but do you think Efton Chisholm sees any sort of legitimate snaps this year.
Legitimate snaps is going to be tough. I think that's a matter if, I could answer that better if we see if Pop gets dealt.
So
And
if
I
Pop
don't.
gets dealt to me, I think Chisholm might play a bigger role. And
Chisholm will play a bigger role if Pop
it'll
gets
be
dealt.
interesting because if let's say one of, to me, like I've been counting Booty to as a guy who's going to get dealt this entire time. To me, if I'm like the Raiders, I am pounding the table to get a guy like Kayshon Booty. You've got like Jalen Naylor, and like Jack Besh and Dante Thornton as your group. Like I'm pounding the table to try to get a deep threat for my young quarterback if I'm a team like the Raiders. And if you can
I mean,
add for like a
Dante
fifth round pick,
Thornton,
that's huge.
I don't want to. So, like, okay, I'm not gonna. I don't fall for the TCU trap, okay? I don't.
You mean the Tennessee trap?
I mean, they're both traps. I'm saying TCU is a trap and Tennessee
Oh,
is a
for
trap.
Jack Besh. Yeah.
Jack Besh and Dante Thornton. But if we're talking
I didn't even think
about.
about that. You're right about TCU. Quentin Johnston, Jalen Reagor.
Savion Williams,
Yeah. Darius Davis, if
Jack.
that even counts, but
Yeah, I'm just gonna say that like Dante Thornton is a weird one. He's one of the Tennessee guys that I actually sort of bought a little bit
yeah.
because I think he plays an actual true X. Like there's nothing wrong with this. He runs the out route and he runs the go route, and if he shores up his hands, they're gonna be legit. I'm no doubt that. His
He
size and
burned
speed.
Carlton Davis in week one on like a
Yeah,
third
burned.
and 32 or something like
And the
that.
ball was horrible. Ball
Yeah,
was
the
horrible.
ball was not good. It was Geno Smith throwing the ball. You know, Geno Smith, that game for him, I don't know if something changed later in the season. I can't imagine it did with his numbers, but he threw for 362 yards that game. That's the fifth most yards he's thrown for in a game in his entire career was against
Well,
New England week one.
hey,
And the
I'm gonna
best
say
team and the
this right now.
31st best
I'm
team.
Gino's writing back this year, is what I'll say.
If he can, that's big for the Jets. And if we want to get in some dynasty talk, I know there's a specific guy on the Jets that you love.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about the X receiver archetype, I don't want to translate out of the Pat stuff too early. I just want to,
There
because
is
I do
one
have one more
piece
thing to
I want to,
mention.
oh yeah, mention that, and then I have a little guessing game for you.
So for AJ Brown, all I've got to say is I just refuse to believe that he's going to be the quote unquote wide receiver one for New England.
Who do you think will be
And
that?
no, and what
Or
I mean
is
by
it
that
like
is
he'll
he
be a
might
name
be.
only?
No. As I mean that, as AJ Brown can lead us in yards,
Yeah, but he won't be the true.
he
I
won't.
understand.
And I think that the and I want to mention this. I sent you the clips on Twitter right before this.
Yeah.
Is who like fourth and four playoff game Chargers? Who got the out route? Like we're talking, Kyle Williams got the out route. We're talking who's the? I think Kyle Williams might be the best route runner on the team,
I will
besides
say
AJ Brown. Besides AJ Brown.
one piece that I didn't think about is we're recording this on Zoom.
Yeah,
It
we've got
says
this
that we
time
have
limit.
9.5 minutes left. So I do want to touch on a couple things really quick, and then we can do like a 5-minute segment on the young players before we get kicked out.
Or honestly, I mean, do you want to just talk past 9 minutes and then just start a new one?
Yeah, we can do that. We can do
Because
that. That sounds good. That sounds good,
I've
actually.
got a lot to say about the young
Yeah,
players,
there's a lot to
obviously.
there is a lot to be said. Okay, so really quick. I guess two things. Number one, for me, this is a worthy gamble. When it comes to Drake May, I am a huge believer in Drake May. He's given everyone in the league every reason to believe in him, right? Last year was fantastic. With that being said, everybody was calling him Drake the Schedule May, all this stuff, right? I do think there's something to be said for, hey, they played a terrible schedule last year. Next year, this upcoming year in 2026, it won't be the same. It will be a much more difficult schedule. And I think it's important to temper expectations because of that. I'm not necessarily expecting a Super Bowl appearance once again. I'm definitely expecting you to win the division again. That to me is a legitimate thing for me. I don't think you should. It's not like you shouldn't have any trouble. The Bills are a very good team, and they added DJ Moore. They added some other pieces this offseason. But to me, you know, between them having a new coach, Mike Vrabel, obviously only a second year in New England, but a very experienced coach, to me, this should be a game you look at and say, hey, like this is a game that an opponent that we beat once at their place, and then the opponent the next time we had them on the ropes, we're up, I don't remember even,
But we
it was
choked it.
what, 30 28 7, at the half, or 24-7. I don't remember what it was. You're killing them at halftime, and you fold in the second half. And that was without Milton Williams, without Robert Spillane. So to me, that should be a game that you should be looking to win. I think just continuing to add Drake May, give Drake May as much help as possible is huge.
I just got to
Regardless of what
say
that looks like,
this.
whether X, slot, Z, any of these things.
Do you think we're 1-14?
Probably not. I'd say it's
Yeah,
like
because I'm
12
yeah,
is a
I'm here.
reachable
I'm
goal.
thinking like 11
14's
or
a
12.
lot of games.
That's a lot of
And a
games,
lot of
though.
teams were really bad last year. 'Cause I don't think the Patriots or Broncos were spectacular by any means.
I mean, I was
I
at
think the
a.
Patriots showed at times they were like a spectacular team, but I still don't think the competition was great, right? Obviously that kind of goes without saying.
Like teams I'm bought in on, and I last year I think a lot of teams were bought out on them mid-year
Yeah.
were the Jaguars, and I was in on them all the way. Liam Cohen, I
A
think,
team
is
that
one
I
of
was in on, I have to give myself some credit here. I said that the Texans would
yeah,
not
I
only
like the
get back
Texans.
into the playoff picture, but I said they'd win the division. They didn't end up winning the division, but at this point they, I think, had a losing record midseason, or
Yeah,
maybe a
I like the
500.
Texans
And
as
everyone
well.
was saying Chiefs, 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 and I was like, I think with that Texans
Davis
defense, it's
Mills.
going to get colder in the year. It's going to get colder. Davis Mills stepped in, and they were competitive against the Broncos. I don't think they won, did they? I'm trying to remember when they played the Broncos, because Davis Mills came in for that one.
I
I don't
think
think they beat the Broncos, but I think they came
they
close
did beat the
enough.
Broncos, but I think they beat the Jaguars. They beat the Bills, sorry. They beat the Bills. That
Did they?
was
Okay.
the Davis Mills game,
And
I
they beat the
think.
Chiefs as well. And
Yeah.
everyone was hyping that up like that was some like coming of age game. That to me was more like the Chiefs are officially down and out game, more than a some great job from the
I'm just
Texans,
gonna
but
tell you some of these matchups, because I'm looking at the schedule, I got it pulled up here. There are games on this schedule that I think are people are gonna lock them, and I'm scared for them. Because
I mean,
like
to me,
Vikings
both games
December
against
10th.
the ball. I see. Here's the thing. I think both games against the Jets and Dolphins, Jets and Dolphins, the Vikings. I'm doing this off just memory. I really like their odds against the Steelers. I don't think the Steelers are a very good team.
I don't think so.
Do they play the Giants? Right.
They don't. Oh, wait.
I think they do at some point.
I don't think so.
They don't play the Giants. Oh no, because they played
Don't
them
play the
last year.
Giants. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have the schedule in front of me, so I'm gonna have
I'm just
to.
going to be
They play the
honest.
Chiefs, I think, right?
Yeah, we play the Chiefs.
Was
That's
that at
right
is that
after
at
the Vikings
Arrowhead?
game. That's at Arrowhead.
That'll be interesting, especially if Mahomes
And can I be
plays.
honest? Look
Yeah.
at, I'm going to tell you, there's a stretch of this schedule where I think we could really just lose a shit ton. And
Yeah. It's
like,
a
I'm going to go,
possibility.
I don't want to, can I go through this real quick? Because like,
Yeah,
I'll
go
tell
through it
you,
quick, and then
Packers.
I wanna ask you one more trivia
Yeah.
question, and then we'll wrap it up.
Packers at Foxborough, November 8th. All right. If Jordan Love and that team gets hot, you know they get hot sometimes and
They
they'll just
do.
really
That's
kill
true.
you. But you know, at Foxborough, I want to say we win that, right?
Yeah.
But then you kind of go on this, you go on to this trip to Detroit, which could be
Yeah.
a loss because it's at Detroit,
Yeah.
right? And I think this game is not in this game's not even in, at Detroit, actually. It's somewhere else. I think it's like in Germany.
Oh, no, it is in Germany. It is in Germany. It's a morning game.
Right.
Now, one thing I will
Yep.
say about Detroit is if you remember a couple of years ago when Bailey Zappe was playing quarterback for New England in 2023, I want to say. Maybe 2022, I think it was actually. Dan Campbell's aggressiveness really got the best of him, and he's going for it on at points in the game where you're like, "What are you doing? Just take the points." And the Patriots smacked
That
him. I
team
think
was trying to
29 nothing.
tank, though. That team was kind of
Team
trying to
that team,
tank.
maybe a little, but to me, that was after they had tanked the first year. That was year two for them. So they
All
were they
right.
went. I think that was the one where Jamal. I was the Jamal Williams season where he had like 20 touchdowns or something ridiculous.
Yeah, that I love Jamal Williams, man. Fuck.
He's awesome.
Dude, so then you go Lions, Chargers, which I think I want to say we win that one too. But Mike
Okay.
McDaniel, we don't know what this team's gonna look like November 29th.
True.
I think
True.
this
They've
team could
struggled with
easily
him
look.
historically.
You know, I think Mike McDaniel could suck September and October and then hit his stride in November.
Yeah, it's
Just
a
play calling
possibility.
wise.
It's a possibility.
It's a warm game. Then you go Bills, which could be a loss. I can't even call that. And then I don't want to say this is a loss. I just want to say this is going to be a tough Drake game because Brian Flores against young QBs, you just don't want to do it. Brian Flores is going to kill you.
It's
He is
true,
going
but
to
I also don't.
kill you.
It's true, but I, you know, to me, I don't view Drake as at the same category as that young QB anymore. You know?
I don't it, age to be. I think age and Brian Flores is just, you know. It doesn't
Probably true.
matter.
It's probably
It
true.
doesn't. Brian Flores is going to kill you. He's going to throw you six
He's
up
one of the
front,
best
two
defensive coordinators
drop,
in
and then
football.
one.
If not,
Yeah,
he's
this
probably the
dude.
best defensive
He's my
coordinator in
favorite. Yeah,
football.
he's my favorite
He's my
easily.
he is my favorite as well.
And
But in
imagine
part because of the
this.
Patriots stuff, yeah.
Imagine this. Vikings game teach tape for Spags against Spags against Dre
It's
the
true.
next
It's
week.
true.
Spags
It's
is gonna
true.
kill him too. He's got Mansur Delane and all those guys, you know?
Yeah, Peter Woods they added.
Peter Woods
Who else they
and
had? Yeah, or Mason Thomas
Chris
they added
Jones
too. They have
and
some
George Karloff.
guys.
Yeah, they've
Karloftis
got
too.
guys, man.
They had
They've
guys on the
got
defensive end.
guys. All right,
Really quick,
I
so
want,
we
yeah,
have 2.5
2 minutes,
minutes
so.
left. There's one piece I do want to mention. Julian Hill got placed on IR
Yeah.
after AJ Brown was signed. That created the roster spot for him. Julian Hill, to me, is just the new Bo Allen. Do you remember him at all from a couple years ago? Bo Allen, they signed him. He opted out because of COVID the first year and then was on IR the second year and got released off IR like halfway through preseason or something like that. He never played a game. He signed like for $2 and $8 million, and he was supposed to be the Danny Shelton replacement at nose tackle. And he literally, there's all these meme pages and stuff are like, nobody knows if Bo Allen actually exists or not. He's just this like mystery player that they signed and gave like $4 million a year to just for him to never play. And Julian Hill feels like he might be in that same vein. Hunter Henry, Eli Raradon, Jack Westover getting snaps back at tight end. He was replacing Julian Hill today. CJ Dupree, they gave a lot of money to last year as UDFA. Tanner Arkin this year, kind of the same deal as Dupree. So there's a lot of horses in there at tight end. I think that'll be a really interesting battle to look at. Now, we'll wrap this up. We'll do another little episode too after this one,
Yeah.
where we'll talk about other things. But Zoom is having us wind down. Four Patriots since 2000, since our generation, have worn the number one. You have 1 minute to name them all. Who do you think the four are? Include
Oh
one of
my
them is
God,
AJ
since
Brown.
2000?
Since 2000, really since 2020, has been the
Oh,
four.
I'm not gonna be good with this.
No,
I
one of
don't
them is
know.
AJ Brown.
Yeah, and I don't know if I know the other three.
They're all receivers. Two are. I'm sorry. Five have, including AJ Brown. Three are receivers. One's a QB.
I think I'm so lost on this. Wow. Is it receivers that started with this number? Definitely.
Yes, one of them changed to this number. One of them started with this number. Another one of them started with this number in New England.
Okay, is the change number Edelman?
No. Really
Oh,
quick, okay,
man.
because we have less than a minute, so I'll give them to you because I don't know how
Yeah.
much time we have left. Cam Newton in 2020, N'Keal Harry,
Oh, sh sh
Devontae
oh, my
Parker,
God.
and Jalen Polk, and then AJ
Devontae,
Brown.
oh, my God. Polk
Oh,
had one. I should have
combined
known
the three
that.
receivers, N'Keal Harry in 2021, Devontae Parker in 22, 23, Jalen Polk in
N'Keal Harry's my
2024.
goat,
They
man. I should have
invested
known.
the 32nd pick, the 37th pick, and $33 million into Devontae Parker.